Get that figured out as soon as possible. So thank you for that, and I'm glad we figured that out. If you would go in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23, and we're going to go there today. I'm going to trust God to help us. Psalms chapter 23, and I'm going to read one verse of Scripture from there to you. No doubt, I think you can find Psalms 23. Amen. Probably one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. And we're going to preach on this this morning and potentially tonight as well. And I'm just going to trust God to help us. Amen. Psalms 23 and verse 6. Of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I'm going to read it again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I want to preach to you today with God's help on God's two footmen. God's two footmen. And if you're not familiar with what a footman is, I told my wife sometimes I let her know what I'm preaching so she can be praying about the altar call if we have one. And I said, you know, God's two footmen. She says, like on Cinderella? And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, on Cinderella, on the back of the carriage, there was two men that would open the doors and they would kind of, I said, yeah. I said, I didn't know you knew what a footman was. But that's what a footman is. It's one that is follows that one that say there's royalty or a person in a carriage. And they're the ones that make sure everything is together. And today we're going to talk about goodness and mercy and how it applies to the life of the believer. And I trust this will be a blessing to you. Let's pray together and ask God to help us and anoint us. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you today, God, and we are trusting you to help us in this service. Lord, we need your help, God. We need your clarity of mind. God, we do thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We know that it's with us. We can feel its presence continually in our lives. But God, I need clarity of mind as I deliver this morning. Touch everyone in this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We are given here in Psalms 23 and verse 6, we're given two glimpses of what lies ahead. Let's just know that the says goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We know that life is a journey, and we see that destination which is in the house of the Lord, which will be forever. I like what one writer said about goodness and mercy. One writer said this. He said, goodness takes care of our steps, and mercy takes care of us, takes care of our stumblings. And we can definitely say amen to that, because we witness the goodness of the Lord in our steps every day. And if you've ever stumbled in life or something in life where you needed God's mercy, and thank God for His mercy, we understand that His mercy is there to help us get back on our feet. The title this morning, God's Two Footmen, actually came from a quote from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He used to call goodness and mercy God's footmen, and what he described there in his small commentary there, called the Treasury of David, where he writes there about the book of Psalms. He says, in his day, when wealthy men traveled, two footmen took their place behind the coach. Their task was to smooth the way for him. Where he went, they went, always there. When his coach stopped, they jumped down to open the door for him. They were hurrying to the inn to make sure his room was ready and it was served properly. God's two footmen are goodness and mercy, and they follow us just like two footmen to smooth the journey for somebody that is in royalty. Now, I'm not too accustomed to calling myself royalty or anything like that, but I do know this. I am a child of the King, and I do know this. There are certain things in which God has designed and assigned in our life that helps smooth the journey for us as we go along. And I think everyone here today can say we have been beneficiaries of the goodness and the mercy of the Lord all the days of our life. Amen. I can say right now, this week, where this message came from, I was sitting right here and here by myself. I was sitting here, right here, because sometimes I get on my knees get sore, and you said, Brother Derek, you're too young for that, and I know that. you ain't going to remind me. But I do sit down. I'm sitting there and I was just weeping and crying over the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. So this morning, what I would like to do, number one, I'd like to focus for a few moments on the first footman, God's goodness. Now, I'm sure you've heard this prayer before, but in my childhood days, I would pray this all the time. God is great and God is good. As a matter of fact, me and my wife have instilled that in our daughter, that at prayer time there, before we eat a meal there at the table, she'll say, God is great and God is good. And sometimes, I don't know what else she's saying, but she knows that part right there, that God is great and God is good. But I was thinking about that. How often do we not understand how true those words really are? We often mention the fact, and I know it's a common saying here at this church, that God is good. And we would even say, there's sometimes I'll say, God's good, and somebody will say, all the time. Amen. Because God is good all of the time. So we understand today, what is God like? And I can say to you emphatically that God is good. We serve a very good God, and the God that we serve is good. It is true that I was reading about this. It is true that no religion will rise above its concept of God. And I want you to keep your mind about that. If your concept of God in your mind in a false religion, if your God is selfish and perverted and evil, that lifestyle is going to permeate in the life of his followers. Have you ever noticed that about Islam before? Why do they seem like they're so aggressive, especially the aggressive side of Islam? Why do they seem like they'll do this, and all those different practices you read about? It's because they follow Muhammad, and that is just the way that they view the prophets and their gods. But I understand this today, that when I look at the God that I serve, the God that I serve is not crafty. He is not merciless. He is not somebody that is evil or a tyrant or inconsistent. I can say to you today, the God that I serve is a good God. And the reason that in my life I feel like that I should produce goodness to others and live a good life and be an honest person, because I am just living the very concept of the God in which I do serve. We have to, once again, I would ask you, when was the last time that you paused to ponder the goodness of the God of heaven? Would you, this morning, my goal and my agenda, would you consider this morning taking some time to ponder his goodness? Okay, getting away from the cell phone, so to speak, getting away from the job, turning off the TV, putting just a stop in time to focus on how good God is and the God that we serve. Purposely setting your mind on those things rather than the things of this earth. When everything else is passing away, even the lust thereof, we can understand that God will never pass away, nor his goodness. I like what it says in Romans 2 and 4. It says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? My, if humanity, we understand the goodness of the Lord. Why is God good to you and I? Why is God good to sinners? Why, you ever thought about that? That's hard for us to understand. God is even good to the sinner man, in the sense that he shows mercy at times when they don't deserve it, and when none of really ever deserved it, but really at times when they're not in a covenant with him, when they have not accepted Christ. But why is God so good to them and humanity? Because he wants them to come to repentance. Exodus 33 and 18, he said, Moses said unto God, God, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said unto him, I will make my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I love that, because Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. And God says, all right, Moses, that'll happen. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put you in a place, and my goodness, just simply my goodness, is my glory. It's going to pass before you. Why is that? Because God's goodness and God's glory is completely perfect. That's what makes God so glorious. I know we could focus on any one of his attributes, but the reason that we are recipients of his attributes and his favor and his grace and his love is because he's a good God. If he was not a good God, he would not be a merciful God. If he was not a good God, he would not be a forgiving God. If he was not a good God, we would not be recipients of anything within this world. But oh, have you ever noticed how Satan causes us to question God's goodness? That phrase once again, that God is good and all the time, God is good. We often say that. It's repeated all the time. But the devil don't want you to believe that. Satan don't want you to comprehend that. He don't want you to see any of those things. He wants you to doubt the goodness of the Lord. You notice there in the book of Genesis, if you'll read there in the Bible, that is exactly the tactic that we find of the enemy. The enemy there looks at him and tells old Eve there in the Garden of Eden. He says to her, hath God said? What the devil was trying to do to Eve right there, he was trying to get Eve to question the goodness of God Almighty. And I would say to you today, that is the same tactic that he uses today. He tries to plant thoughts in your mind that God is not good to you. He tries to get you to say within yourself, well, if God was good, this would not have happened. Or if God was good, I would not be sick. Or if God was good, he'll try to make you believe that God is withholding something from you. But hear me today, if you ever feel tempted within yourself, that as if in the sense that God's not answering your prayers, or you feel like you're being tempted to doubt God's goodness, when anybody feels that way, I would remind you that your circumstances are not the meter in which you measure the goodness of God. If you're just simply looking at your circumstances go from one extreme to the other. You're happy today, sad tomorrow. You're healthy today, sick tomorrow. You're alive today, and you're on your deathbed tomorrow. Why is that, Brother Derek? Because that is the circumstances of this world. But if you ever want to measure the goodness of God, you say, Brother Derek, how do I do that? I would encourage you that you do this every time. The devil comes to you and say, you know what? God's not good. You wouldn't be going through that. Instantly just point him to Calvary and say, devil, that's how I measure God's goodness right there. I was undeserving, but yet he gave me forgiveness. I was undeserving, and yet he gave me the strength and the mercy, and he gave his only begotten son. So do not measure God's goodness by your circumstances. Measure God's goodness by the cross of Calvary, and know just because he sent his son to you, his spirit has been sent to you, we serve a very good God. Now there's questions about God's goodness that we can answer here this morning, and that is my goal. Number one, what must I do to understand God's goodness? Well, simply I would tell you this in Psalms 86 and 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Aren't you glad? And plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon thee. If you want to experience God's goodness, why don't you pray about it? Ask God to remind you how good he is. But I'm going to go a little step further there, because you can hear about the goodness of God your whole life, but yet not be a recipient of that goodness. You can talk about God's goodness. And there's even times I've tried to explain the goodness of God to sinners. And I've even looked at my lost loved ones at times, and I said, man, you don't understand how sweet the water is over here in the fountains of salvation. You don't understand how beautiful the view is once you're standing on the mountain with the King of Kings, and you don't know how much joy is in my heart, but yet they cannot comprehend the goodness of God. That's why the psalmist would say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to sample his goodness in order to understand it. Anybody here other than me shop at Costco? Anybody like samples? Matter of fact, I know what time to go when it's sample hour, I guess you could call. People said, do you go on the afternoons? I'm saying, no, there's no samples there. But every now and then I'll get something, and I have been the product of advertisement a few times where I have taken something and said, honey, get a box of that. And everybody knows that you're not going to eat 50 cups of soup or whatever it is. Or you know, they often go home with this giant bulk of thing that you know there's no way you're going to eat all of them. But you took a sample of it and you said, my, that is some of the best stuff I've ever tasted in my life. At that moment, and you know, it's not even that good later on. It just seems to be good when you're sampling it at that moment. Amen. The old saying is the proof is in the pudding. You've got to try it yourself. You've got to, and I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that's how it is with the Lord. We can go on and on and on about the goodness of the Lord to people who have never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. But my, once somebody gets a taste of salvation, once somebody gets a taste of the joy of the Lord, my, it's the sweetest thing in their life. I'm telling you, there's nothing like tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. I read this about a skeptical young man. He said how unsettling it was when he came across this truth. He said he read in the Bible, see, taste and see that the Lord is good. He said I might would have comforted myself with the delusion that God could be observed at safe distance. But we must taste in order to see. He ended up going to college. He abandoned the church when he went to the university. And later on, I think it was like his sophomore year or junior year, he went to a Bible study group and a man broke this down to him. He said, talk to him about tasting. And this is what this man said about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. He said, tasting cannot be done remotely at arm's length or by proxy. Tasting is impossible without coming close to it, opening your mouth, and putting the food within your mouth. You can't just come close to the food and say that you've tasted the food. You may have smelt the food. You may have seen somebody else's joy and delight in eating the food. But there's something about it, taking the food, opening your mouth, and there on your tongue and your palate, you're tasting the perfect mixture of whatever ingredient it is. If you have a sweet tooth, or if you like steak and potatoes like me, whatever it is, you've tasted it and you know that it's good. But that's what you've got to tell everybody in church. When you come to church, it's not enough just to come here and get within arm's length. You've got to open up and receive of Him in order to experience the goodness of God Almighty. For years, people can come to church and just gawk at the plate, if you would. They just stare there. But that's not going to fill you up with God's goodness. You've got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Second question we could ask is this. Who can expect to be the one that benefits from God's goodness? Because we know everybody don't just benefit from the goodness of the Lord. It says in Psalms 31 and 19, oh, how great is thy goodness. And my, yes it is. When thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Notice that he said, how great is thy goodness that you have laid up before thee. He's saying this, that there, that word laid up there, it means like a treasure chest. I like to picture it this way in my mind. Here God is in all of his sovereignty and all of his omnipotence and all of his, I mean, his variety of blessings and goodness. He has it laid up for us, which means I like to picture it this way. He's got a treasure room of God's goodness there. And he says, you know what? In this room right here is all of my goodness that I have stored up. And he says, the only ones that really will benefit from this tremendously and the maximum extent are those that fear the Lord. Hear me, brothers and sisters. What does it mean to fear the Lord? We don't fear God as a tyrant and as an evil dictator. No, we reverence Him, which means every day of our life and our walk with the Lord, we're looking at heaven and we're saying, Lord, I'm mindful that you are there and I want to be mindful of you and I want to live pleasing to you. And when you live a life like that, you'll find that the goodness of the Lord will roll out over and over again in your life. It's been 10 years for me and I'm still amazed by His goodness. I can say to you that as a sinner, I experienced some of the goodness of the Lord. What do you mean by that, Brother Derek? I left a party one night. I had a friend that died that left the same party, but yet I'm preaching to you 10 years later. Can I look at that and say, my God's good? But do you know, as a sinner, I didn't sit there and say, God, you're so good to me. God, I know your mercy. You know what? I sat there and said, oh, I lost a friend. I was heartbroken and felt a little convicted about my sins. But I didn't grasp the goodness of God. I'm living at a place right now, I can tell you, that I'm able to recognize His goodness. You know, my two little babies there, I've got a 3-year-old and one that's a little bit over one. They're a handful. There's some days I come home and bless. I know my wife don't complain about it. I mean, I know this, you know, as a mother, stay-at-home mother, I can tell some days I come home, it's been a long day. Well, Chloe did this. And my daughter a few weeks ago thought she was an artist on one of the bedroom walls. You know, I look at it then and correct her. You do it again, you go correct it again. And she hadn't done it again. She got the mini blinds one time and then the wall. And one day I told her, I said, sweetie, don't you draw on nothing. Don't you draw on the wall. Don't you draw on the mini blinds. Don't you draw on your clothes. Don't you draw on your bed. I named everything. She come in and had marker on her face. I didn't mention her face. True story. She come in. I thought to myself, I said, and I felt bad. I said, I guess, well, don't draw on yourself either, sweetie. But you know, life can be stressful. But all of a sudden, every now and then, I'll come across something on the news of a little 3-year-old girl that's dying from cancer. And all of a sudden, even though I had to maybe get a little boisterous with my daughter and get on her, and she drew on the wall, I said, God, You're good. God, You're good. I wouldn't even, as a sinner, I wouldn't even pay attention to all this. God, now I'm not, God's good. If she did get cancer, I could say God was good. But you understand what I'm saying? As a Christian, we ought to have a heightened sensitivity to the goodness of God Almighty. I see the goodness of God in a cup of coffee. I see the goodness of God when I get down and I sit down at the table and there's food on the table. Why do we stop for a moment? Lord God, You're great. God is good. What are You saying? There's some that go without. I could be without, but God, You've been good to me. And I want to recognize Your goodness. Could ask another question. How long can we expect to bask in His goodness? Psalms 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Amen. All the days of my life, I can expect that. Brother Derek, when will the Lord's goodness cease? It says in Psalms 105, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. It'll last from generation to generation to generation. God's goodness does not have an expiration date on it. Amen. You'll never look at God's goodness and say, my, we've got 2 more years of God being good to America, or God being good to me and my family. I'm looking to the far futures and generations, and that's why I can proclaim from the pulpit and to my children, God will be good to every generation that will ever live. So I can look at my children, and you can look at your grandchildren, and we can look to each other. And the older can look to the younger. And Brother Glenn can look to me. And I can look to Brother Glenn. And we can testify one to another. God is good to every single generation. We can expect that. But there is a difference between the goodness of God and the goodness of man. My goodness is limited. Which means I'd like to do you good. I like to tell you every morning I woke up on the right side of the bed. And I do because I sleep on the right side. But there's some days I didn't sleep as good at night. And I don't want to talk to everybody at that moment. Now, I will force myself and I will make myself talk to people. And I'm not talking about acting out of a good spirit. But I'm saying this. It is impossible for me to be infinitely good as God is infinitely good. God never wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. God never gets mad when it takes too long to get His food. God will never get, you understand what I'm saying? You say, Brother Derek, well, He's God. That's what I'm making a point. He's God and He is infinitely good. It is possible for me to say today that the sun is very bright, but it's not infinitely bright. Why is that? Because it's just a physical matter. It's easy for me to say today, it is possible for a mountain to be large, but I can say about that large mountain that it's not infinitely large. It's possible for an angel to be good, but it's impossible for an angel to be infinitely good. Only God can claim infinitude. When I say that God is good, I mean that He has a heart that is infinitely kind, and there is no boundary to it. Why is that? Because He is God, and He is the very source of all goodness. Amen. Not only is He infinitely good, He's perfectly good. God is never partway on anything. There's never been a time in my life that I've looked at God and said, God, you're just not good today. He's not inconsistent. You ever been to a restaurant and it was so good the first time? Come on. And you sit there and say, man, I'm going to bring somebody here with me. I've done this. And I talked it up. I said, good waitress, the sweet tea was good sweet tea. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I didn't have to add, it was that good sweet tea, that southern sweet tea. And up north, that means some sort of fruit in it. And I'm talking to good southern sweet tea. I mean, the food, the steak was cooked perfectly. I go get a group of friends together. Look, I want to take you to this restaurant. And we go there, and the waitress is not doing very good. The food is almost burnt, and it's late, and it's taking time. Why is that? It's a proof in this life that things are inconsistent. But oh my, when I tell you that God is good today, I'm just as sure tomorrow that when I sit down at the table and I pull up my chair, He's going to be just as good tomorrow. If anything else, as the old country preacher says, He gets gooder and gooder every single day. He is a good God. He's never inconsistent. There's never a day with God that He's not good. But can we say that of humanity? We sure cannot. God's goodness is the very reason for us being alive. The goodness of God is the only valid reason for existence and the only reason underlying all things. Brother Derek, why are we alive today? Because God is good. Matter of fact, I would go in theology. They like to chase this further, and I even like to think. But why did God create us? I mean, we're not, be honest with you. I know we like to think a lot of ourselves at times, but we are just human beings. I mean, you look at Adam and Eve and you're like, oh, they blew it. God, you knew it, and you're sovereign and have foreknowledge. You knew. Why did He do that? Because He wanted somebody that had a free will like you and us to be recipients and those that could experience the goodness of God. Why is worship and praise so important in church? Because it's me showing forth that God has been good to me. We're giving back praise to the one that has helped us and redeemed us and created us. It says that in the book of Psalms. Why do we worship Him? We worship Him, number one, because He is our Creator. We worship Him, number two, because He is our Redeemer. So what are you saying, Brother Derek? That is the very core of worship and praise on Sundays, is that God's been good. That's why I'm alive, and He's a good God. Amen. That's why if you say, well, I don't know if I like worship and praise, then you're doubting, you're depriving yourself of the time to ascribe glory to the one that has created you in all of His goodness. So not only that, He's created us. I hope you don't believe that you deserve to be created. Can you imagine the lump of clay looking at the potter and say, I deserve to be a pot. I deserve to be a cup. And the potter looks back at that ball of dirt and said, it's a ball of dirt. But in his mind, in His goodness, He creates us into the image that He wants us to be. What a good God. And we could go on to talk about this. God's goodness is why God sent His eternal Son to bleed for us. The answer is, out of His goodness and loving kindness, why would God forgive me when I have sinned and then forgive me again all throughout my life if need be? Because God, out of His goodness, acts according to His goodness and does what He loves doing, and that is showing His goodness towards us. That's why He sent His only begotten Son. Once again, don't say that you deserved for the Son of God to die for you. My, how pitiful. Wouldn't that be prideful? But I look at the cross and I say, God's goodness. We could go on to talk about, why does God answer prayer? Let's not imagine once again that it's because somebody was good. Don't ever, you'll get nowhere like this. You get down and pray and say, God, you'll answer my prayer because I'm good today. Matter of fact, when you have that example in the Bible of the publican and the Pharisee, whoever it was praying, the religious man, one acts like he deserves the answer. And the other one's hitting himself in the chest and, Lord, I ain't nothing. I'm but a dog, Lord. I'm unclean, Lord. You know what? That Pharisee's prayer makes it worse for him. When you pray out of your sin, anybody, not saying anybody does, but I have met people that have, and even at times in my own life, I said, Lord, shouldn't you answer my prayer? I'm in the will of God. No, sir. He answers a prayer for me. Why is that, Brother Derek? Because He is a good God. Nobody ever got anything from God on the grounds that we have deserved it. We are human beings redeemed, and God's good nature and benevolence is what God gives us. But then it brings us to our text. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How many knows life is a journey? I'm learning this more and more. If I told you 10 years ago, that I'd be living in Hampton, Virginia, I'd have thought you were crazy. You tell you what brings me here? It's a journey. When I'm walking in Tanzania, Africa, I told my wife, I said, man, serving God is such an adventure. When I went to Haiti last year, I'm thinking to myself, what a journey that I am on, trying to do the will of God. When you go to your job, you can say, you don't know what that day has in store. You don't know what could happen. You don't know the potential and the possibilities of that day. But the good thing that David wants us to understand this, no matter where you are walking in life, you're trudging around, you're punching the time clock, you're going here on vacation. Doesn't matter if you're in the jungles of Africa. Doesn't matter if you're here in Hampton. Doesn't matter if you're North Carolina or any other state. If you're walking with the Lord, you can be sure assured of this. Your journey, not far behind you, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. They're not far behind you. And when the devil tempts you that his goodness is not there and his mercy is not there, why don't you turn around, shake God's goodness's hand, shake God's mercy hand, and remind the devil that goodness and mercy is with me. Amen. I was reading about a missionary, and I thought this was very fitting for this morning's sermon. In 1851, this gentleman's name was Alan Gardner. I've never heard of him. Did a little research on him here recently. Alan Gardner felt called to the tip of South America. And there he experienced many physical difficulties and hardships and throughout his whole service to his Savior. But despite his troubles, he said this, while God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me. He was a powerful man, a sailor, captain of a ship. But then all of a sudden, one day, it came to the place everybody on the ship had died. He died in 1851 at the age of 57. He died of starvation is what they came upon. But they found near his body there a diary. And his diary today is still very well quoted from. It's really one of the beautiful entries in journalism. As you read there, each day he would write, he'd count down, my crew died today. And then he gets to the place, he's all by himself, and he's there. And all of a sudden, when they came to the very last entry, the little book showed a struggle-shaking hand as he tried to write legibly. And this is what that starving missionary said. He said before, in the page before, I've got 2 days to live. And some of his last words are this, and shaking, almost unlegible, it says, I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. Let me tell you what that proves. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. What is it that a missionary sitting under a tree, no food? See, right then some of us will say, well, God can't be good. There's no food. God can't be good. I'm starving. God can't be good. I'm dying. How can God be good? I'll tell you this. God is good to you if you're in a prison. God is good to you if you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor. God is good to you if you're on your deathbed. But I'm a firm believer that you can be overwhelmed with a sense of God's goodness no matter what circumstances you are in life. As my wife goes to the piano this morning. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. I know I could go around this room today and begin to ask you, has God been good to you? I don't believe. I honestly, in this room looking around, I don't believe anybody would say, no, Brother Derek, God's been horrible to me. I don't believe that. But I do believe it's common for the enemy to tempt you about the goodness of God. Doesn't mean you give in to the temptation. And there's times that you may have. But I believe that old voice, that old serpent. You ever heard the devil called Slewfoot? And I could think of all, a good, bunch of good creative names for him. I just don't like him. He's a devil. But he's faithful to show up when everything's not just like you think it should be or something goes wrong. And all of a sudden he'll whisper in your ear, if God was good, do you think he would be going through all of this? I encourage you, all you got to do is close your eyes, point to the cross, and say, regardless of circumstances, God is good. Stand to your feet if you would. Stand to your feet if you would. Simple thought, I know, and tonight we'll talk about the footman called mercy. And got some illustrative things I'd like to show you if God will allow it to come together. But this morning, I believe it's all in order. How many thanks God? How many appreciates God being a good God? I do. I know we don't just look at circumstances altogether, but I know you could probably find something wrong somewhere. But can't you find some things going right? Oh my. I promise you this right now. My blessings far outweigh my struggles. God's goodness far outweighs living in this fallen world. Matter of fact, if you were to put them on a scale beside each other, God's goodness tips the scales right off the table. Why is that? Because He is infinitely good, and He's good all of the time. Right now, can we just talk to God out of our heart? Thank God for His goodness. That's the goal of this message.